and welcome to What's on Your Mind. What are you wearing today? We have a summer fun day around here today. We're going to do a little barbecue over the lunch hour, and everybody was encouraged to wear something like you would wear on a summer Saturday or something. Wasn't that it, Kevin?
Yep, just kind of cash.
What are you wearing?
It's a cash Thursday. I just got some cargo pants on and a t-shirt.
You do?
Casual. I was going to go shorts, but...
Shorts were even okay, but nobody's worn shorts so far.
I kind of forgot, but I'm always kind of cash.
Todd, are you in summer attire?
I'm probably wearing my parking lot prayer warrior shirt today because we've got that coming up just past 8 o'clock tonight.
Attaboy.
Another Thursday. How many in a row now?
This will be the 19th broadcast.
Best thing that's come out of the coronavirus right there. Those parking lot prayer warriors. I love it. Amen. I have a t-shirt on. My favorite Saturday attire would be hat, t-shirt, jeans, and, Sanuks from Myers Department Store in downtown Watford City. That'd be right there. That's what I'm wearing today.
Do you have your prescription goggles that Dr. Fauci thinks we need?
Prescription goggles?
I have extra if you need.
Yeah. Did I miss this?
Yeah. No, eye protection. Got to have Fauci says eye protection. Yeah. I'm waiting for the earplug mandate.
Yeah, you need better eye protection now. You need actual goggles now.
No, I didn't, and I won't, and I hadn't heard that, and I'm not surprised.
I just want to know where I can, because does anybody know where in North Dakota I can get prescription goggles? Because I'm guessing that's not quite in the pipeline just yet.
I have my red Choose Life t-shirt on from the Shanley Teens for Life. I got this in March many moons ago, and it was red. It looked summery, and I like the little baby feet in the Choose. See, the O's aren't O's. They're the little baby feet. See that? Okay, have you got that down?
Mm-hmm. Like it.
Yeah. So, I'm feeling very summery here today on the program, and looking forward to visiting with you. We are brought to you by PetroServe USA. We're coming to you from the PetroServe USA studios today, so I get to tell you about what's for lunch. One of my favorite things to do. Meatball subs sound good? I thought it did. I-29, 12th Avenue exit in Fargo has the meatball sub at the PetroServe USA there. Meatloaf dinner? Now there you go. There's the North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota kind of meal right there, isn't it? Meatloaf dinner at the Harwood location, I-29 in Harwood. Exit 292 Valley City, I-94, is the place you'll find pulled pork or the French dip sandwich. Now, remember, all of these come with two sides and a bun. You're not going to leave there hungry. It's home cooking. It's grab-and-go convenience. Pulled pork sandwiches today in West Fargo, the West Main Avenue location. And every PetroServe USA location, Mandan, East, Bemidji, Wahpeton, Valley Dairy Stores in Grand Forks, Valley City, Castleton, up to Arthur, West Fargo, Fargo, Moorhead, Dilworth. All the locations. Bemidji. I mentioned Bemidji. Graft. PetroServe USA locations. You get the 4 for $4 deal, the single topping personal or breakfast pizza, two fresh baked cookies, and a 20-ounce drink, four items for $4. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you heard the earth move about an hour ago. But the President of the United States tweeted something out that has the media in free fall. Yeah, they are having a flip out, and the earth is moving. Exactly right. The market is down about 400 points, and I see most of the media, including Fox, is saying that Trump's tweet that we're about to share with you that moved the earth is what is hammering the Dow. I think that's kind of odd because they've spent most of the morning hyping the fact that, according to them,
you found it. Sorry,
what did I find?
Nothing.
The GDP.
Nothing.
The GDP.
Somebody just walked in, and I forgot I had my mic on. Sorry about
dropped
that.
Dropped 32%. Only it didn't.
No.
But they're saying it did. So don't you think that probably would have effect on the market more so than the election tweet? Here's what he said, and I want you to answer whether you agree or disagree. Give me your comments on this, your best commentary on what answer you'd give to the President of the United States. Okay? Here it is. Lean in. Listen close. With universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It'll be a great embarrassment to the USA. And then he poses a question. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? There you go. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? Now, I don't believe a candidate has the ability to move the election. I don't know. This is constitutional.
No, I read it takes Congress.
Yeah,
Congress would have to.
Congress would have to do it, and you know it would have to be within the confines of the Constitution. But he's asking a question here. You're not going to hear much of that in the reporting today. You're going to hear Trump wants to delay the election. No, I think what Trump wants is a fair election. Do you? I do. Can we get one with mail-in voting? Do you know? I don't. Too many stories. So I think this is genius by Trump because what he's doing is saying, well, what do? Delay the election until we can properly, securely, and safely vote? That's not so crazy. Don't we want elections to be about people properly, securely, and safely voting? I do. But the genius in this is that by asking that question, guess what? He'll win the battle over mail-in voting not being the way we vote. He will force that. Nobody will want to delay it so they can fix it. And if you can stand in line for some Cloverdale summer sausage, you sure as heck can stand in line to vote safely and securely. I've heard talk in North Dakota of starting early voting earlier. Great, great idea. Because I'm voting at the polls. But again, spread out over time.
Remember what you used to have when you went to rent a video to prove you were you?
Credit card on file.
But we don't need that kind of scrutiny when it comes to voting for some reason.
Driver's license, the whole thing. All right. So I want to know your answer to that question. Should the election be delayed until the people can properly, securely, and safely vote? Yes or no? It's the president's suggestion this morning. What do you think? Kelly Armstrong at the bottom of the hour in a busy week. Two epic hearings. One with the attorney general and the other with the tech titans. And also next hour, we're going to chat with UND's vice president for finance and operations and the COVID response coordinator. And Debbie Storr is the interim provost and vice president for academic affairs. So all that coming up on the program. Larry in Valley City, you're first on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, see, I was wondering, has anybody heard of any studies going on for hydroxychloroquine to see if it's effective or that? We've got all these studies going on, these new drugs that they're producing, and I just haven't heard anything, any results or any tests or that, and I think it might be just because nobody's going to make a big fat killing off these new drugs, you know?
Right, and you know that's the reason there's opposition. There's no doubt about it. It's been around for 60 years.
Can't get rich off of something that's existed for decades. So.
60 years, yeah. It doesn't. So there's opposition there for sure. Studies, I believe Stanford and I believe Essentia both did studies at some point. If I recall, Essentia stopped theirs because of the blowback from some national study about too many patients had some sort of a heart ailment from it. But what I don't understand on that, and it's a good question. We should dig into it again and find out what's being done. The drug has been used for malaria. The drug has been used for lupus and other things for 60 years. Okay? So if there are problems with the drug, I think we're going to know that. Right? So, again, the president's taking it. Others are taking it. I just think that's something between the patient and the doctor. I don't know why we have to politicize which drug is okay and which drug isn't. I really don't. Ask your doctor. What does your doctor think? Get the best advice you can get and make your decision. Doesn't that make sense? Yes, no, Larry? What do you think?
Always.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But like I said, the powers to be won't make a ton of money off an existing drug, and I really truly believe that it helps. Funny how they shut all the news down about it. And
well, that tells you all you need to know. That tells you the reaction to this is unbelievable. You know, one of those doctors made the mistake of saying, hey, I consider it a cure. I've had 350 people come to my office, some with diabetes and other ailments, who think they have a death sentence, and I cure them using this. So they hate hearing that.
All right.
We've got a big announcement on the program today. Couple of them, actually. And I have a dilly bar here next to me. Never never done the show while eating a dilly bar before, but I might. First of all, I just opened the package, so it needs to sit for a good 10 minutes anyway.
All right. Yeah, you don't want to break a tooth or whatever.
Well, they're never that rock solid. But don't you like it a little melted?
A little salt, a little softer, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I do. That's kind of I feel like I'm wasting a ice cream treat if I eat it too frozen.
Someone said there was a shortage on those or something.
Dilly bars?
I mean, early on in the deal, Dairy Queen had a shortage of
them. What the heck?
I don't
know. How could you have a shortage of that?
Yeah. I know.
This is a butterscotch one here. I can hardly wait to dig into it. Question for you, and then we'll get to the calls and also to the big announcements. When was the last time your diesel vehicle was serviced? In other words, you just said, I'm going to get it serviced. Make sure everything's okay. Do a little preventative maintenance. If you can't remember, bring it to the experts at DAC Diesel, because they do a variety of maintenance services for diesel vehicles, and our friend CJ there will tell you a lot of stories about people that have saved thousands and thousands of dollars by doing just that. They're just ahead of a major failure, and of course, when it happens is never the right time, and that's what they do with DAC Diesel. They're all about diesel. In Bismarck, but servicing vehicles from all over. Tractors, pickup trucks, semi-trucks, you name it, anything diesel. Trust them for long-lasting repair and maintenance services. DACDiesel.com or call 701-258-5011. Okay, announcement number one. Donald Trump Jr. and Governor Tim Walz are two guests that we will be entering outside of the confines of the radio program, which we do not prefer, but sometimes just schedules are a take-it-or-leave-it deal there, and you do it that time or you don't do it. So, we have questions. We'd welcome from you, our fine audience. This is a thread that started on Facebook, on my page, KFIRE's page, AM 1100 The Flag page. You find it. Leave your questions for either one. Donald Trump Jr. Talk a little bit about the president's trip to Texas yesterday and talking about energy. And also Governor Tim Walz. Boy, I could talk to him for an hour and a half and not get all my questions in.
Oh.
But we'll do our best. And
I'm going to need a muzzle.
Speaking of energy, we have another big announcement here, but I'll save that for after our conversations with a listener in Kildare and a listener traveling Highway 14 today. Arthur in Kildare, you're up on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Scott. I've got an update on the Ilhan versus Antone primary race in Minneapolis.
Very good. This is the Democratic primary, right?
That's correct. It's going to be held on the 11th, and there's still time to get your ballot if you're in Minneapolis, if you order it up until Friday. My spy in Minneapolis sent me some flyers that came out from the Antone for Congress camp, and they said that she's telling me that there's all kinds of yard signs out there for Antone, and I sent you, I don't know if you got it or not, I sent you a copy of some of the mailings that have arrived in her house. Did you get those?
No, I don't think I did. You emailed those or what?
I did. They're just kind of interesting. They're effective Antone for Congress flyers. And anyways, that's not really the point. Point is, this is the most expensive primary race in the history of Minnesota. I think it's $7 million bucks have been spent so far. I think they're now tied at the amount of money that each camp has spent. over 50,000 ballots have, or 500,000 ballots have been requested. So it's a knockdown, drag-out battle here. And so I wanted to tell you that the good people in North Dakota, we have got a really good shot at knocking Ilhan out of office. What a vile woman. Hates America. And the way I did it was I went to Antone for Congress, and I donated $50, and then just yesterday I went on there and I put an additional $10 on there. That's all I had, and I put it towards taking her down. She hates America and everything we grew up and stand for.
I'm glad you're letting us know about this. I don't hear much about it at all, and I'm glad to know that it's a real race there. It's funny the national media hasn't picked it up, because that would be a huge defeat, no doubt about it. So whatever you can do to help. And this Anton is... Do I remember correctly that sort of a conservative Democrat?
I don't know. I think he's maybe just a hair to the right of Ilhan. I don't think he's any prettier, but it sure would be fun to have Lacey Johnson going up against Antone rather than a true shooting star for the Democratic Party, Ilhan.
Yeah, good point. And the Republican candidate is solid there. Great. Appreciate that, Arthur. Thanks a bunch. I hope folks join you in donating some of their good hard bucks to make that happen. Be gone, Ilhan Omar. Jamie, if I were an NDSU grad, I would donate money to her opponent just so this woman who continues to embarrass NDSU is off the stage. Be my take. Jamie on Highway 14, what's on your mind?
Oh, first of all, that hydroxychloroquine, one of your callers asked why they weren't doing a study on it. And the Henry Ford Institute did do a study on it. It's online. You can look it up.
All right. Good advice for them.
And as far as the safety of that drug, I can kind of attest to that myself. I've taken it three different times, a couple of times for a month and a half, and once for, 2.5 months when I went overseas. I went down to Central America as a malaria preventive.
And no issues?
No issues. Other than a little bit of bad taste in your mouth for a while.
Why do you think there is this assault on this option as a therapy for coronavirus?
Same reason as any assault on anything else the president mentions.
So it's about him. Isn't that something?
That'd be my guess.
People can live as a result of this, and the media is more interested in mocking him for his support for this option for people than they are about somebody living. Tells me all I need to know about whether I would trust that entity ever again, right? Crazy.
Yep. And then crazy, you figure lots. Your last caller mentioned, I drive into Minneapolis and St. Paul quite a bit, and I get up and around the smaller towns around in there. And I've been doing this for the last 7-8 years. And I've never seen so many Trump fence signs in that area or any Republican sign in that area in my life.
Beautiful.
But there are those there.
It gives you a little bit of comfort, doesn't it?
Exactly.
I have two 4x8 Trump signs that I purchased. A member of the Minnesota Trump GOP group that is distributing signs to people who want them. I bought them. They're like, I forget how much, but like $75.
My neighbor's got a huge Trump flag right next to the American flag.
There's a good way, too. These are two-sided 4x8 signs that you can put up. And, I mean, they're sharp-looking, and they're huge, obviously. 4x8, good size sign. I got to think of a way to give those away maybe on the show. Somebody that, probably have to have a little contest on the best place to display them. Where would the most eyeballs be? Where should they go? So we'll do that one day. More coming up. Is building stronger communities by uniting landowners and county officials in supporting more wind power for the prairie. 29 counties are seeing wind energy enhance their schools, the roads, their emergency response teams. Landowners support harnessing wind to provide consistent income for 25 years. Together, we can build a better tomorrow with good jobs and stronger communities. Keep our electricity rates among the lowest in the country. Message from North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions. I haven't forgotten that I owe you a big announcement. It's coming up. One of them down, one to go. The one down, Donald Trump Jr., Governor Tim Walz, guests of ours in the next couple of days outside of the show. We'll play it on the show, but we have to tape it without you having the opportunity to call in, which we prefer always. So get your questions in on Facebook, and we'll certainly use those for those two guests. Speaking of telephone numbers, if you'd like to talk to Congressman Kelly Armstrong, the telephone number is 800-228-0550. You can text me at 701-367-2054, or you can text Todd, 701-226-8503. A busy guy the last couple of days with some high-profile witnesses before the committees of jurisdiction that Congressman Armstrong sits on. First, the Judiciary Committee and the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, and then the tech titans. So, busy couple of days. We'll talk with Kelly about that and more on the program. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, it's a little like when you have a big trial or a couple right back together. The good news is I think we did pretty well in those hearings. The bad news is I'll spend the next 2 days digging out from everything else that's happened in the world.
Well, I'll give you another one this morning to start with, and then we'll talk about the hearings. President Trump has lit a fire on Washington, D.C., and especially the media, by talking about his concerns about mail-in voting and asking the question, you know, should we postpone the election until we can make sure this is a, you know, free and fair election? Whose decision is when our elections are held?
The United States Constitution.
Okay. And but it obviously has no provision for another
Tuesday after the first. It's the first, or well, it's statutory. It's the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. I understand the concerns, but the election's not going to move.
And could Congress say, hey, we have concerns, this isn't working, so we're going to do it? I mean, is Congress able to, is there any mechanism where Congress can change that? Delay it?
So I suppose they could try and pass. I mean, not without passing a law, and that would just simply never get through both chambers, right?
So the election's going to be November 3rd.
Yes.
It's going to be
November 3rd.
And the president, by raising this, obviously is, I hope, prompting a important conversation about mail-in voting. What's your thinking on is he right to be as concerned as he is about mail-in voting?
Yes and no, if that's the best way I can explain it. We do a bunch of vote-by-mail counties in North Dakota. We have great absentee a voting process. We know how to do it well. We have done it for many, many years. I don't think that is the problem. Now, I think if you go to but we also have a process where you mail in and you request your ballot first. I think if you take a jurisdiction somewhere, anywhere in the country, don't care if it's a Republican district, Democratic district, swing district, and you completely reshift how you used to do your elections to like an entirely vote-by-mail system without any history and knowledge of how you do that, I think that could be a very big problem. So when I say yes and no, I don't mean it as a hedge. I mean it, you know, states like Virginia who do it similar to North Dakota on absentee balloting. I mean, and North Dakota's is different everywhere. And I think the biggest part of this, Scott, is you have to remember, there's no such thing as a federal election. There's 50 local elections that elect federal officers from Congress to the Senate to the president. So if states have good safeguards in place and have done it before, I don't see as nearly as much of a problem with it. If it is brand new that they're implementing in September of an election year, I would have serious concerns.
So how do you do that? When you, like you say, it's a state-by-state thing. These are local elections that ultimately do that. How do you get your arms around who's got it down and who doesn't? And how do you prevent against some of the problems we heard about even this last election, you know, in the primary by mail-in voting? What do you do?
Yeah, So crisis is caused, real conversations about political philosophy. And we have had voting from voting rights. I serve on the committees for all of these. And I will always advocate 100% that elections should be handled locally. I don't want Washington, D.C. making decisions about how North Dakota handles their elections. I just don't. But the answer is to ensure, everybody's going to love this answer, but you have the right people and the right lawyers in place that are willing to deal with the safeguards and deal with those issues. And we saw it in 2000. The Bush v. Gore case came out of Florida. Well, I said the election will be on November 3rd. I'm not sure the results will be on November 3rd, depending on how all of this works. So, and to give you an example, why it's so important to keep it locally. If Democrats pass their voting bill into law, North Dakota wouldn't know our results on November 3rd. We'd have ballot harvesting, and we'd have the same thing as they have in California, and wouldn't know our results in North Dakota until possibly middle of December. And I don't think any North Dakotan would support that. So you have to be very careful on how you attack the protect the integrity of the election without doing tremendous federal overreach that will have consequences forever, not just in the upcoming election. We need to ensure the election is fair. We need to know those things exist. But I'm never going to support anybody who's going to bring overly the heavy hand of the federal government to tell North Dakota how we're going to run our election.
So, by the way, folks, that we just have breaking news that Herman Cain, one-time presidential candidate, longtime GOP activist. Remember his presidential campaign coming to North Dakota and spending a little time with him. He's a jovial fellow. He sadly has passed away after a diagnosis we heard, a month or so ago about having COVID-19. And news this morning that Herman Cain has passed away. I wanted to pass that along for you. Let's talk a little bit about, first, the Bill Barr thing. I don't recall. There's been a lot of craziness with the impeachment stuff and everything, but I don't recall a case where someone as a witness was literally assaulted verbally and otherwise for an entire day, one after another, to the point where the guy asked for a 5-minute break to go to the bathroom and the chairman won't even do it without, getting a bunch of pile-on from other members saying, you're not going to let him go to the bathroom? Oh, okay. It was awful. Give us your impressions of the day.
Yeah, exactly that. I do think I'm reclaiming my time is congressional version of I would like to speak to the manager. It's a crutch. It's terrible. But it's okay to give those 5-minute statements. Congressmen and women in both parties do that all the time. But you don't get to give a 5-minute statement, ask a question, and not allow the Attorney General of the United States to answer. If you think you're going to get a yes or no question on a three-part question, you're doing it wrong. This was all planned and all targeted. They didn't want to get into it with him. Why would you? He's better at it than they are. He's got the facts on his side. He's smart. He's smarter than they are, and he's more prepared than they are. Why would they want to let him answer questions? They wouldn't like the answer. So they just yelled at him for an entire day.
So in a case like that, are they literally gaming out minute by minute? You do this, you do that. You're going to say this. You're going to take that. And don't let him answer. Is this all a big scheme?
Oh yeah, they had practice sessions all weekend. I asked a national reporter the day before the hearing. I told her she should ask the Democrats if they actually used the real honey badger to play Bill Barr. They had mock up all weekend. So this wasn't a spur of the moment thing. They had planned to attack, and not allow him to answer questions.
I thought he was magnificent at it and really a gentleman through most of it. I don't know how he kept his cool, but he did, and he did very well. And because that's obviously kind of what they're trying to provoke as well. What was your takeaway from it? What did you learn from him in the few times he did get a chance to speak, at least to the Republicans?
Well, two things. One, I think I was the only guy that stumped him because I asked him why you would need a ceasefire for a peaceful protest, which he didn't really have an answer for. He's like, yeah, exactly. And then two, I think the most important thing that came out of that hearing that nobody's even talking about is he says there's a separate DOJ investigation about the unmasking of Michael Flynn, separate from the Durham investigation. And that hasn't got a lot of coverage because, quite frankly, there were no fireworks around it, but he said there's a U.S. attorney in Texas that is actually looking into how and why so many people in the previous administration unmask General Flynn and others, but primarily around that case.
One of my favorite exchanges, and I won't play it just to save time, but it had to do with, I forget the member, but she wanted him to, Madeline Dean was her name. She wanted the attorney general. I'll just play it rather than stumble around. Go ahead and play this for Kelly.
I've already explained that it had been planned all day.
Attorney General, The time is mine. We've waited a long time for you to come here. The time is mine.
You waited to talk to me like this? You didn't need to wait
so long.
When
asked about the use of pepper bombs fired at Americans in Lafayette Square, you said, quote, no, there were no chemical irritants. Pepper spray is not a chemical irritant. It's not chemical, quote.
Well, everything is chemical. I was referring to a dichotomy in these kinds of things between chemical compounds and naturally occurring substances.
Mr. Attorney General, reclaiming my time, there are rules by which we operate here. I would ask you to respect them.
Well, she kind of forgot them, but yeah. She went on to say, will you agree that in any protest we shouldn't use chemical irritants? And he, of course, said, you mean pepper spray? and trying to remove that. Well, what in the world? I mean, just from a law enforcement standpoint, taking that tool out of the toolbox of law enforcement would enhance the likelihood that people would die, would it not?
Well, you don't have to go very far. Look at the Democratic National Convention and all the law enforcement agencies. You know, they typically bring law enforcement agents up from all over the country to help on that. But because the policies the Democrats are putting in place for the convention, they're all saying, no, we're not coming. If you're not going to allow us to deal with crowd control in the way that is safest for us, and by the way, safest for the crowd, then we're not going to participate in this. This is ridiculous. It is insane. And it's absolutely contrary to public safety, how you control these events, how you ensure the safety of every one of our hardworking law enforcement agents, and how you ensure the safety of the people who actually are there to protest peacefully. I mean, there's a way to do this without harming people, or at least reducing the risk of harm, and they're taking that away.
Yeah, that is, you know, and by the way, over 100 now law enforcement agencies have pulled out of the Democratic National Committee for that very reason. More
time to
Kelly
go to the
coming
mailbag.
Up.
Whether or not you thought this was appropriate at the time, have you now called for law enforcement to stop using these chemical irritants on protesters? Yes or no?
Pepper spray?
Oh, that one phrase just spoke volumes, didn't it? From Attorney General William Barr, one texter here says, I want to thank Kelly Armstrong again for the way he conducted the interview with the Attorney General Barr. I was so proud of him and the way he represents North Dakota. So passing that on for you, Kelly. Another question says, if we have all this evidence against the Obama administration, why has there not been an indictment? Gets old to keep hearing about how corrupt they are, but nothing ever happens.
Well, so, and Scott, I think you and I have talked about this a little bit as well. I mean, that's what Durham is supposed to be doing, working forward. Same thing with the unmasking investigation. The problems that run into this is corruption and illegality aren't always the same thing. I mean, there are some very, I think you will see charges on lying under oath, possibly disclosing classified information that what you weren't allowed to disclose. But you get past that and you can have all of these things and, you know, you still have to violate a federal criminal statute. So the Durham investigation is how one's supposed to be run, right? They keep their head down. You don't hear anything about it. But I will be the first one to admit that I am horribly frustrated. And I'll just give you a perfect example. We know Agent Kleinsmith doctored an email before he went to the FISA court. Well, I don't know why you need a 18-month investigation to charge the guy. That's perjury. It's pretty clear perjury. And I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know why you need a secret investigation to do that. He's admitted to doing it.
Remind
so
us,
when the fall guy hasn't even been. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, remind us who he worked for.
The FBI.
Okay. All right. He was an FBI employee.
Yeah, he's an FBI agent, and he lied on a FISA warrant application. He altered an email, and I don't know why you need an 18-month secret investigation to charge the fall guy. And the fall guy hasn't even been charged yet. So that texter should be concerned, because until we see something, I mean, I'm going to be cautious. I'm going to be skeptical of it. And that's regardless of who's in charge at this point.
I saw, too, this week.
You know, I have a lot of respect for Attorney General Barr, but until we see something come out of it, then this is just all, you know, what it is.
I saw this week that the FBI insisted that the dossier be in the FISA application. The CIA and other intel did not want it. There was a big debate about it. They ultimately won by putting in it as an addendum to it. Do you think 5%, 10%, 15%, what's your number? What percentage of the American public have a sense of how corrupt the Obama administration, the FBI, go right down to the intel community was in conspiring against Donald Trump from the time he was a candidate up until now? What percentage of the American people do you think get the facts about this?
One of the true tragedies of this whole thing is every single week, new declassified information comes out that shows how paper thin, that's the best way I can explain it, the evidence was to start this investigation, but more importantly, that they all knew it and they did it anyway. And that's the problem. You know, for 3 years, 3 years on every major media outlet, Bob Mueller was going to be President Trump's personal grim reaper. It was going to end his presidency. It covered every waking minute of the national media. And now when information is coming out later that proves that all false, they're not covering it. And it is fascinating to me, because it really truly is an app. In any normal scenario, this would be the biggest scandal in a generation. And we don't even talk about it in this town.
I agree with you. I can't believe it. It's just hard to wrap your mind around it. Let's see. A couple calls stacking up here late in the hour, so we'll go quick with these. And here's a text. I have a question. There was a Republican meeting with the executive committee exclusively on July 18th in Medora, and another one in Bismarck with the normal citizens on July 25th. Each claimed to be the proper state convention. Which one was the legitimate state convention recognized by national? Any explanations?
Well, there was no legitimate state convention recognized nationally because of we had to cancel the convention for the COVID because of COVID-19. And actually, my understanding, now I'm not in the party anymore. My understanding is the chairman of the party and our national committee man and committee woman had spoken with nationals about the best way to approach that. So.
And so, there's this sort of this controversy brewing a little bit. You hear from some circles that it was, one meeting was illegitimate and one wasn't. You don't believe that to be the case?
Yeah, I don't think the convention that was held in Bismarck was a legitimate convention. The second one. No, I don't.
Roger in Portland for Congressman Kelly Armstrong. Go ahead, Roger.
Well, good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me on. I just had one comment here about mail-in ballots. And we had, every year I do an absentee ballot, send in our information for it, get it back certified and everything. But for this most recent primary here that we've had in North Dakota, we had ballots sent out to us. And we also had a ballot sent out for our son, who hasn't actually lived in the state for 17 years. So I do see some issues with that, and particularly with the database that's coming from.
I have a question for that. I don't think, and I could be wrong, and I'd like to see this, but I don't think you got a ballot for your son. I think you got a request for a ballot for your son. Because the Secretary of State so that caused a lot of confusion, and it should. And in a time where we have a lot of issues, that's important. But it's important to recognize your son would still have to fill that out, put his driver's license number on there, and then that's when the ballot would be spoiled if it didn't actually match location.
It's not the same thing
as getting a ballot.
The biggest thing, I think, Roger, was the fact that ballots disappeared. You know, people, they sent in a ballot, it didn't get counted. So there still were issues even in North Dakota on that. I definitely hear you, and Kelly's also right. We got a couple applications for my wife, more than one. Supposedly they wouldn't send two ballots back, but I hope not. Thanks for the update, Kelly.